Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Wednesday's show, senior writer for NBA.com, Steve Ashburner. And from 24/7 Sports, Mike Schaefer will break down all the latest on Nebraska football and recruiting. Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
South, at least I am, for some JV baseball. A little bit later on today, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine Jacob Padilla. He joins us on the phone at Jacob Padilla _ where you can find him. Jacob, thanks for a few minutes. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
We're good, man. We're geared up for the weekend, and I know you are geared up for some basketball. You're going to be able to check out some more hoops action this weekend, and we'll get there in a moment. Also want to talk about some of the Creighton hopefuls in the NBA draft and the latest on Kisei Tominaga. But I want to start, Jacob, with the Hail Varsity yearbook. Another edition's coming out here in June. June is when that'll be sent to your mailbox. To get it in your mailbox, deadline to get a subscription is May 31st. So get signed up. HailVarsity.com/offer is where you go to make sure you get signed up for the digital and print. And Jacob, you spent time examining Coach Rhule and his staff. And they've done a lot of switching sides, haven't they? They've found some guys that are talented, and they've said, listen, we think you might fit here a little bit better. And you took a lot of time putting a pretty awesome piece together for the yearbook.
Yeah, it's just something that kind of stood out to me as we kind of worked our way through spring and listened to the different coaches and saw some of the movement, just the sheer number of guys that are switching positions, switching sizes of the ball. Some of them were kind of small tweaks, like John Bullock going from nickel back to linebacker, like he's played that spot in the past, and not that dramatically different. But then you got guys flipping from one side of the ball to the other, like an A.J. Rollins going from tight end to defensive end. So you've got kind of the full range. I count at least 15 different guys that changed positions throughout the from the time that Rhule took over throughout the spring. So I just kind of dove into that and went with the different the coaches, the players involved, how they kind of talked through that and what that experience has been like for them, and dove into philosophy a little bit and kind of maybe some of where it came from and somebody in the past under Rhule that has really benefited from kind of that positional flexibility mindset. So it's kind of fun to dive into that and just kind of flesh it all out.
Jacob, of those guys that have switched positions this offseason, how many of them do you think are going to be expected to contribute in some way, shape, or form right away, whether that be as a starter, as a backup piece that can come in and get some snaps, or even a special teams guy? How many of those guys do you think are actually going to be contributing next year? Because that's one of the unique things with a first-year head coach is a lot of times in college football, a guy makes a position switch, they have a year, or at least half a year, where they get some chance to get some reps underneath their belt before they're expected to be contributors. But whenever it's a first-year head coach, that can differ a little bit. You need a results, not necessarily right away, but a little bit faster. So what's your take on how many of those guys you think we're going to actually see on the field come this fall?
Yeah, and that's the interesting part of this, too, is like some of the guys that made positions were some of the players that we heard the most about that made big moves. A guy, like I said, mentioned A.J. Rollins, really popped for them. I have no idea the kind of snap count, what that's going to look like for him this season, but the coaches have talked about him really showing up and making plays in practice and really impressing them. And that's obviously not the deepest position in the world. They lost Stephon Wynn from that defensive line, obviously not the exact same position, but in terms of a body up front. And part of that is probably because they were looking to play some younger guys and
perhaps Rollins is one of those. A guy like Janeeran Bonner, who moved from wide receiver to kind of like the hybrid tight end, and involved in that is playing some fullback. And we saw it in the spring game that he first play of the game went to him on a fullback dive. So that's another guy that they talked about quite a bit this spring, that a position change. The guy probably wasn't going to see the field at wide receiver, but he embraced this move, and now he's got a chance to be an important piece for this offense next season. And then John Bullock, I mentioned before, is another guy that Rule straight up said is a starting caliber player for them at that position and thinks he could potentially have an NFL future. And that's a former walk-on who moved got placed on scholarship at the end of the spring after, again, kind of making that little adjustment, moving up from nickel back to linebacker now. Obviously, we know they've got some experience at that spot with Nick Henrich and Luke Reimer. And you've got a guy like MJ Sherman at that kind of the jack, the outside rusher linebacker position. So don't necessarily know that Bullock's going to be a starter, an actual starter, but sounds like he's a guy that is very much in the mix to be in the rotation. So that's why I kind of latched on to this more so. Sometimes like you move guys around, it's kind of a last ditch, like, all right, you're probably not going to play here. Let's just see what happens. It seems like this is much more intentional and something that they're excited about with some of these moves.
Jacob Padilla is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And Jacob, do you think that some of these position changes, especially those going from offense to defense and vice versa, do you think that puts kind of a sense of urgency on that position group that's already there?
Yeah, I mean, if you got a guy that's been practicing there for a couple months that comes in and gets more snaps than you as kind of one of the returning guys there, that might very well might light a fire under you. Could be like, all right, hey, I got to get in here gear if this guy barely has any experience at this position and he's got a chance to play, then maybe I need to turn it up. So like that could be part of it too. I mean, I think with the coaching change, it's kind of a blank slate. Like obviously there's some guys that we know that have played a lot that are probably going to be key starters and the guys you rely on, but the coaches don't know those guys beyond. I mean, they've known those guys just as long as anybody else in the program. So like they still got to go out and earn it and show that they deserve to keep that spot. So I think everybody's kind of got that, like, all right, this is my chance, whether it's a guy that's been in the program and has played a lot, or it's a guy that feels like maybe I got a fresh start now with some different eyes evaluating me. I got to go out here and show my best.
Jacob Padilla is with us from HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Jacob, to the NBA draft we go, and also still time here. The 31st looms next week to take your name out of the NBA draft. Latest you're hearing on Kisei Tominaga feedback, and then also touch on Kaluma and Kalkbrenner from Creighton, what they maybe flashed with the combine.
Yeah, I haven't really heard anything on Kisei, which I think you can probably take as good news at this point. I think that's probably like not a lot of buzz out there, and obviously he didn't attend the combine or even the G League camp. So I think at this point you can expect him to be back once he kind of gets through this process and does everything that he wants to. I just don't think that he's going to hear anything that would make him jump at this point. So that would be a big win for Nebraska. As far as the Creighton guys, I think obviously Kluma is already in the transfer portal. I mean, whether he comes back or not, he won't be at Creighton next year. But Kalkbrenner, I think at this point, I think he's going to be back. I don't know that he's going to hear. I just don't know that he's going to be a top 35 pick or something like that, where you're a guaranteed contract, you're a true NBA guy versus a two-way in that kind of like 45 to 60 range, where a lot of those guys get more the kind of the two-way contract where you're playing half the season in the G League, not quite as much money compared to the guys that get guaranteed contracts. So I don't know that that's something that he's super interested in, and that seems like the direction this is heading right now. I think he showed well in some areas, struggled in others at the combine, kind of like all three Creighton guys. Like I think they showed what they're good at, and they didn't necessarily answer any of the weakness concerns. So I think they probably came out about as they went in with the combine, and that's probably a good thing, I'd say, for Creighton in terms of getting guys back. I think Trey Alexander is much more up in the air than I think Kalkbrenner is probably close to a decision. I think Trey even tweeted today, he's like on the clock, but not in a rush. So he's kind of taking his time, listening to whoever he needs to listen to that's giving him advice, whether it be people in his camp or hearing from evaluators from the pro ranks. So he's got to kind of make that decision based on what he's hearing and also about kind of what he's interested in. Does he want to, is he interested in potentially being a two-way and kind of working his way in the league like that? Does he just want to be, get his foot in the door in the league now? Or is he cool with another year of college to potentially solidify his stock if he shows a little bit more this next year, which I think he'll have the opportunity to with Creighton with the roster changes where Nembhard's gone. Now you've got Ashworth, who's a really good point guard, but he's also very good off the ball. So that means more, I think, ball handling, playmaking opportunities for Alexander, which would is probably what he needs to show to NBA evaluators.
Jacob, back to Casey here for just a second. If he returns to Nebraska, Fred Hoiberg said a couple weeks ago, he's been working a lot this offseason on his body, and he looks like a completely different player. What does that mean to you? Like, what do you think that looks like in practice next season? How does that help Casey in the rugged Big Ten?
Yeah, I think defensively is probably the first place he would hope, just in terms of holding his ground, being able to fight on the glass, be involved like with some box out and kind of pull down an extra board or two. And then obviously he finished at a really incredible rate last season, and strength will only help in that area and maybe potentially allow him to create some more shots inside the arc than maybe he did last year. And then you've got the stamina portion of it too, whereas you saw kind of late in the season he started having some cramping issues with kind of the extended playing time that he was getting, where you could barely take him off court down the stretch of the season with how well he was playing with the team a little shorthanded. So I think it'll help him in that area as well, kind of maintaining his play for longer stretches of time, which is something that Nebraska definitely needs from him.
Jacob Adil is with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Get the yearbook, get the subscription in before May 31st. So you get the yearbook, get the digital, HailVarsity.com/offer, where you go. Great stuff from Jacob and from Aaron and Babbers, Quentin, of course, Drake and Brandon Vogel, and can't forget Brady Altman. What an issue it will be put together, and it'll take care of you for your 2023 Nebraska preview. Jacob, have yourself a great weekend, bud. Real quick, about 15 seconds, your weekend plans, a lot of hoops, correct?
Yeah, I was at the kind of Hoops for Feek event that Landon Pekorski hosted, kind of just a fundraiser for Gretna coach Brad Feakin and his health battles right now. That was earlier today, and now the rest of the weekend I'm down here at Lincoln Northeast for the MBDA freshman state tournament. So I'll be tweeting thoughts out about that all weekend long and looking forward to seeing kind of the future stars of high school basketball here playing together.
That'll be awesome. Jacob, thanks for your time. Thanks for the coverage, bud.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there he is, Jacob Adil with us on Hail Varsity. A quick timeout as we'll mow through this first hour. Hail Varsity presented by Currency.
Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Wednesday's show, senior writer for NBA.com, Steve Ashburner. And from 24/7 Sports, Mike Schaefer will break down all the latest on Nebraska football and recruiting. Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.